Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast. My name is Will, and with me is John Jordan,
Hello.
Peter Willington,
Hello.
and Keith.
You forgot your name there for a second.
I just cut off my surname.
What were you?
I
That's the
thought
least
that.
painful thing cut off. Aha!
No. Yeah, I just thought, cool people don't have two names.
We all know each other well enough now, don't we? We don't need
What,
to sing.
like you like Madonna then? Is that what you're
Yeah,
saying?
no, no,
I've
not
always
like
thought
that.
that. Yeah.
I'm more like,
Rihanna, yeah.
no, not that one either.
Share,
No,
share. You're very
no.
share.
Actually, this is a really stupid idea. So there we go. I'm not doing that again. How has everyone been this week? Is everyone in a good mood, first of all?
Don't usually ask that question.
Oh, I
Yeah.
know. I'm just. Just want to be a bit more friendly.
I guess we'll find out. We'll find out as the podcast progresses, won't we?
You sound a little stressed, John. He's going to hunt me down and kill me in my sleep if I keep poking like this. So we should go straight onto the news. Right, first up on the news this week. Should we start off with the controversial one? It's not really that controversial.
Controversial, is it?
It's controversial for certain people.
I don't know who you mean.
There's a sort of from Peter there. But Miyamoto, who's the creator, you should know who he is, but he's
No idea.
Nintendo legend, creator of Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, quite a lot of games, really. Has said that he wished he'd been the one to come up with the idea first of Angry Birds.
What's the actual quote?
That is the quote.
Well, that is the quote, is it?
Yeah. He went on to say that he wasn't truly like not many smartphone games have been truly convincing. But he found Angry Birds to be one of those games I immediately appreciated when I first started playing. To make the interface and controls work that well and intuitively, well, I think a lot of work went to getting that right.
He thinks it'd have been better on DS, though.
Yeah, then he said it'd have been better on DS because the controls would have been better.
No.
No, they wouldn't.
That's my response. No. Just no.
I don't know. I've got maybe I've got fat hands, but when I was playing Angry Birds Space, like I'd pull the little catapult back, and then it would like go off at a slightly different angle to the one that I wanted, but then maybe that's just because I don't know, maybe I had a pie in my head
I
in
do
September.
play it on the iPad though,
Fat
so
Hands Willington, that's what we call you.
Yeah, that's what the ladies call me. Yeah. This
Disgusting.
anybody
That's revolting.
thank you. The I think
It's
the
because he can't do up their buttons. That's the problem.
Oh right. Oh, is that
Yeah,
slang?
exactly.
I don't know what you're
Yeah,
going with.
no, exactly. What were you
Two up my
know what,
buttons anytime.
I don't wanna know, Keith. Disgraceful. I think anybody who is kind of upset about what he said is almost missing the point of what he was kind of doing. Like Miyamoto makes or made very, very high quality, simple games that everyone enjoyed. And him going, I wish I made a really popular game that I didn't make. Like that, there's not, it's a great news story because it shows that somebody in Nintendo is paying attention to the space, but it's not anything to get,
I can tell you, I can tell you exactly why in my mind is that everyone got, well, not everyone, a certain portion of people got annoyed by this. It's because whenever anyone wants to bash Angry Birds, and millions of people seem to, the argument they use when you say, well, it's a simple game that everyone likes, they say, well, it's not Mario, they kind of go down that line. And
Yeah.
actually for Miyamoto to kind of say he likes it suggests he doesn't think that there's all too much difference, which then ruins their argument, which is why everyone got such a tiz. Well,
Yeah,
anyone
certain people on
Twitter
Twitter got incredibly sort of like they went through that sort of the three stages, that sort of disappointment, sadness, and anger, and like flaring up, and then all of a sudden, Angry Birds is like the most hated game they've ever played or seen, and they detest everything and it was really odd on the forums as well. There was like I noticed on certain like console sites, some people like saying like. But maybe he didn't mean it like that. Maybe he meant that it was good for its cut type. like that. And it's like, what? What?
Do you think maybe they were in Nintendo denial?
Oh,
no, I like it. Like
thank you.
10 points.
You would have thought that it was like the God saying that the devil's actually not that bad. It was that kind of shockwave that went through there. Something they decided was evil. The person they look up to has come along and said, actually, it's all right. It's not bad.
It's kind of interesting because he would have overcomplicated it. His games are kind of simple, but they're not. I don't know. You know, I could.
Oh, I mean, well, they're not. I think Angry Birds is a simple game, but it also has a lot of subtle complexity. And I think that Mario is a very simple game. But if you keep going further into what Mario is, like if you see some of the speedruns, for example, that there are on the net, they're actually very complex in very subtle ways. And but, it means they're games that are simple enough so that enjoy, but there's also a complexity there so that people can enjoy them over an extended period of time.
But his games, I mean, I'm certainly not a Nintendo expert, the kind of the Nintendo way is you have very simple controls and then layer on environments that make that complex, but you have direct control. In Angry Birds, they do a similar thing, but you basically have indirect control. The only control you have is like trajectory and, it's not laid in up in the same way, is it? I kind of think it's kind of annoying. Why don't Nintendo mobile games, and we can see what you do, because I'm sure you do some interesting stuff. But.
If we want to see the other side of the thing, this is the guy that made Wii Music, and, he's not saying, and it's better than Mario and Zelda. Mm. Like, he's saying, I wish I made this game. I wish I made that game, because I'd like to have, a big vault of money.
I wouldn't mind if I'd have made that game.
It's done all right, hasn't it? It's done quite well.
Yeah, it's done all right, yeah. There we go. So, I'm sure that everyone listening hasn't had a sudden heart attack or a questioning of their beliefs, but
they're listening to the wrong podcast if they are.
If you are, then you're definitely listening to the wrong podcast. But yes, okay, let's move on though. I'm gonna skip down a bit because I want to get the latest iPhone rumor out of the way. And the latest iPhone rumor is that Apple is going to be bringing out the iPhone 5 and that it has the same chip as the new iPad, 1 gigabyte of RAM, and that's about all they've found.
Not making another one, are they?
Yeah, they're making another one, apparently.
No, they're not.
Were they popular enough?
The 4S is fine. They don't need to make another one.
Yeah. Apparently so. But there's no surprises here. This is stuff from 9to5Mac, who found internally seeded a Cupertino-based firm has internally seeded a prototype of the next-gen iPhone.
I was wondering, why would you call a website 9to5? It's kind of like, this is like the boring job, isn't it? You work 9to5, it's really boring. Then you do your fun stuff in the evening. It should be called...
Mac 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of an odd thing, didn't it?
No, but the Mac... Yo, man, when you get back from work, the Mac is where you go on to have fun. So 9to5Mac is like saying, hey, man, let's have fun, 9to5. And then have more fun when we get back home. So there we go. No surprises on the latest rumors, but we'll keep you abreast of any further developments in the rumor mine. Talking of iPhone 5, it already tops the search compared to 4S in terms of volume, according to, who is it? Greenlight.
Is this current searches or cumulative searches?
It's 13 million searches in February.
I think a lot of that is put down to the fact that a lot of people actually don't realise it's called 4S. I think a lot of people just searched iPhone 5. I don't think it really means anything. The only thing it suggests is that if it does mean that a lot of people want an iPhone 5, which I think we all probably gathered already. Yeah.
Although it was actually beaten by Kindle.
Really?
Hmm. Kindle and BlackBerry. This is UK only. So if
BlackBerry beat it.
Yeah.
That is, you've got to be kidding.
No,
BlackBerry followed by Pi.
So the actual results are that Kindle and BlackBerry are more popular than 4S. That's the story if we're going by Google searches in the UK in February.
Although it's not that big. I mean, have you spoken to many people who aren't very mobile savvy? They always, I get asked all the time, should I get the new BlackBerry or should I get an iPhone? I'm like sitting there going, why would you want to get a BlackBerry?
I mean, you should kill those people, to be honest.
I've had about three people in the last 2 weeks ask me that.
I'm fully BlackBerry now. I've got a BlackBerry phone and a BlackBerry tablet.
John's using his BlackBerry. I said the other day we went for a drink, he was using like a 13-year-old girl.
It's
he was
great. Well,
checking
what
messages throughout the course of the night would not leave.
Right, okay. I thought you meant he was using it like a.
I have to say, I'm really impressed. So now I have a touchscreen, and I have
you didn't
like
sound
a keyboard.
Impressed.
Oh no, yeah, that's because
wait, hold the presses. Did you just say it has a touchscreen?
Has a touchscreen and a full keypad.
Full keypad.
I wasn't blown away with them using it, to be honest. It looked like something from 1996.
Were you like trying to hide your hand, like your head in your hand with your elbow on the table going, look, put it away, just put it away, okay? Jesus, everyone's staring.
Compared to his top of the range HTC Windows phone.
What's he going to say? my phone's amazing, just don't take pictures with it.
Well, you're all wrong.
I just see. Well, next, this story confuses me even more now. Actually, I can understand Kindle being well searched for. You know, that's selling pretty damn well.
Yeah, BlackBerry does well in the UK normally. Though.
It doesn't really do. It does well. It does well in context of everywhere else. But that's like saying.
Well, no, I think actually that one of the BlackBerry phones is the top selling non-contract phone, or was last year 2000. So I think BlackBerry was the top selling pay-as-you-go phone, because I mean they're quite cheap and kids like them.
You get free messaging. You're going down the park.
Yeah.
Going to play on the swings. Wiki, see you there.
You need to stop sending those messages, Will.
Wiki, love the swings. Anyway, I imagine that's what the kids today text each other. Let's go on to... there's a story that was on a minor site that I picked up on this week. The site's called pocketgamer.biz. Biz. I think it's biz. They were reporting on some developers saying that high-profile developers, which you can't name, I do actually know what at least one or two of them are, because I've been told by my sources.
We'll have to be killed now.
My sources inside PocketGamer.biz have told me who they are, but I can't say.
They're the ones that John makes up, though. Don't fall for those. They're just these little
but
birds.
Anyway, but they've said... that the new iPad's GPU isn't really fast enough to support the actual the same level of detail in the 3D games on the Retina display as it is on
That's
the iPad 2.
It's just a really long sentence.
What?
That was a really long sentence. I was wondering when it was going to end.
You're saying I'm boring?
It was just going on and on and on.
You're saying I'm boring? Fine.
not
fine.
Today.
You take over.
Keith wrote the story, so he can take over.
He can take it, but he's not going to be allowed, because I'm also going to say that also today Digital Foundry did a little bit of a teardown on some of the games like Infinity Blade.
Teardown?
I know. I'm trying to think of a word that... All right.
Just trying to make it sexy.
Yeah, making it sexy. Tear that down, baby. Infinity Blade 2 and Mass Effect Infiltrator were both running at 1440 by 1080 rather than the full resolution. And that games like Galaxy on Fire 2 and Riptide GP, which did run at the full resolution, actually had a lower frame rate than the iPad 2.
Well, the weird thing is, I'm amazed Apple have let them get away with this, is Riptide has options so you can...
Yeah, it's always had that, though. It had that in all of its releases, from Tegra right through to iOS, it had the options. It's not very detailed options, but like you can go for low... they wanted to run 3DS and stuff like that, but they had
seen that on something recent that I can't remember now, that you could switch off certain things so that it run better.
Yeah. But anyway, there's...
They allow that.
Other developers, including Natural Motion, in fact, went on Twitter to say that there's no problem with the GPU and that it's running fine. But
the question is, it's not obviously there's not a problem with the GPU.
Exactly,
So the question is, obviously you've got four times the amount of pixels. So, but you've only the GPU is the only part of the chip that's been upgraded in terms of the graphics. So presumably it's only some game. As you know, Will, go back to the PC games where some games are GPU bound, which basically means the GPU is fully used, and some games are CPU bound. And I would imagine now a lot of the games, if they're not heavily optimized or bits of the textures are reduced or something, they're going to be limited by the GPU. So how much they can push for the GPU. So
yeah.
So it's a little bit of, you know, kind of almost like a chicken and egg, because obviously anyone can make a game that is going to work on the new iPad. But if you had a game that was really all out on the iPad 2 and you just have to increase everything linearly, then obviously it won't work.
That's kind of the issue. It's essentially that if you want, like, from a gamer's point of view, what it means is that if someone really tried to push the graphics, be like a sort of infinity blade jump in graphics quality for now at this very point in time, it won't be possible because they'll have to support the iPad 3, which would act as a sort of limiter on how much they could do with all the polygons, fill rates, etc. on the iPad 2, which could well surpass what the iPad 3 could do because it has to get so many extra pixels in. That's basically so it's like a ceiling accident, an accidental ceiling.
I don't think it's not accidental. It's kind of, I mean, I think also we all know it was a bit of a surprise when we thought there was going to be an A6 chip. And obviously you can call it a chip whatever you like, but we thought basically the chip powering the new iPad was going to be kind of a newer architecture rather than being a slightly revised kind of A5. So we've got this A5X now. So that's kind of that's part of the issue. I mean, whether it has any impact on anyone, I don't really think so. I mean, but I kind of think that the wider thing is almost like you've got that as a slight issue, and you've got obviously the batteries getting hot, and while it's certainly wrong to say the new iPad is a bit of a kind of clunk, you can't imagine, I think it's the most clunky one put together so far of the three, and you kind of don't imagine Steve Jobs would have potentially let it go out in the way it has gone out.
I don't really. This isn't my forte. This kind of area thing. But the thing that we were being tweeted when we put the original story up, that people were suggesting that essentially Apple wanted to focus on getting developers used to coping with the screen with a high resness, and then let them catch up with a better GPU next time out. Kind of like a staggered approach, rather than shoving both on and at the same time, which I don't really know how true that is, but that's what I was being told in anger.
I mean, it was always the idea that, you know, for a phone to get a Retina resolution screen is kind of makes sense. It's a smaller device than that, but it's always going to be a bit of a jump for a tablet sized device to go Retina resolution. I mean, that's always just going to be just a massive amount of pixels to push and doing that. What the problem I guess they had was, well, you can kind of PR, oh, it's got a Retina resolution screen. Most people will just go, oh, what does that mean? I don't understand the screen's the same size. I don't understand what resolution is in the first place. So you've got this kind of massive internal kind of issue that you've got to deal with in terms of, hey, you know, the architecture and the memory and stuff. But you don't really win anything on the marketing side. So I think that was kind of their problem. But they kind of felt they had to do it at this point, you know.
I thought the perverse but interesting kind of offshoot of this is what Digital Foundry said was because the Leap is potentially smaller in terms of what it can do, that it makes the iPad 2 life longer because it's cheaper.
You've
got a device that makes Android, even the most recent Android devices, look positively overpriced because you've got something that's essentially as good as the latest one, but, you know, 50 quid, 100 quid cheaper than it used to be. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah,
I would be more tempted to get an iPad 2 than an iPad 3. I can't remember if I said it on this or just general moaning, but having seen it, I wasn't that wowed by the screen, not in the same way as the kind of Leap with iPhone at the time. Yeah.
No, I'm exactly the same. I mean, I've still got the original iPad. I don't think I'll bother getting the new one at the moment.
All right. So, sorry, I was commenting back on a commentator on the article I was reading.
Somewhere else, you've gone and had your tea, gone to the toilet.
No, I was writing a comment. If you refresh the page,
these guys are waffling on again.
On that, if you refresh the page that we were linked to for that story, then you'll see I've just commentated live while you guys were rambling on.
Commentated. Your face is squashed in that picture.
I know. I need to sort out that. I can't be bothered. Right, let's move on, though. Kickstarter. Every single day we get another Kickstarter story emailed to us. So we're starting to drop off on the Kickstarter stories because they're kind of getting a bit boring. this one's interesting, though. A new company which is formed by industry veterans who worked on titles such as Metal Gear Solid, Halo, what are you doing?
I said Halo.
are setting up a Kickstarter for Republic. It's an iOS game that they're hoping to raise $500,000 for. They describe it as a an AAA iOS experience. And it's a combination of stealth, and I mean, it looks nice. The concept artwork's nice. Describe it.
It does look very
survival.
Looks very original Metal Gear, actually. The camera angles. There's a little clip of someone walking to a lift there that just reminded me of when you walk into a lift in Metal Gear. Half a million. I don't know, it's getting a bit cheeky now. I think it's getting a bit cheeky. I mean, there's nothing special about that. I can imagine a publisher might well pick that up, so...
No, publisher's not going to pick it up and give them $500,000.
But why do they need that? I'm not sure I don't know. It seems a bit... I really do think... I mean, if you're a big name and you don't have to explain who that name is in the way that they seem to have had to explain who these people are here... It's not like, you know, it's people who happen to have worked on, I don't know, is that going to gather? Are they going to think, oh, I must have this? I'm not sure.
I would say the biggest issue for this is they've worked on these great games and they've been kind of saying they want to do an iOS game and they've been told their ambitions are too big. And they should do something small and they want to do something big. But the whole point is, if you've never done a touchscreen mobile game before, I mean, I wouldn't fund them this because they've never made a mobile game before. I mean, the whole point is you have to make make a match, you know, a match 3 game and a puzzle game and then worry about this.
This is something they should work up to, surely, both in terms of what they can accomplish and in terms of how they fund it. They shouldn't just decide to say, well, right, let's, you know, it's like a shortcut, a cheat code or something. Let's get some randoms to fund it. I like the logo.
Do you did that Metal Gear reference come from anywhere, Keith?
What? Which one?
Did you say that? Is it came from?
Oh, you're breaking up there. Hello.
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 Hello. Am I still here?
Yes, although it's gone down in quality, but it's now.
It is at least okay.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Metal Gear, didn't you, in the what they've worked on?
No,
That's what I was going to say. Because that's Ryan Payton, isn't it? And he was on MGS4, so, like...
Oh, dear, that's not good. Completely put me off now.
Right, okay, well, we'll have to agree to disagree, but that sounds...
No wonder they want $500,000, that's...
I was originally down on this, like, they shouldn't give them $500,000, and now I know Ryan Payton's involved, and I'm like, yeah, do it, everybody, now, argue for $500,000.
Was he just number four? Was he involved in any of those, or just number
He was
four?
Assistant producer on MGS4, and I think he left just after it came out.
I would say they've already raised $500,000 from other funding, so it's going to cost them $1 million to do. So they're looking to raise half it from Kickstarter.
So he wasn't involved in any. He's just involved in number four.
Right,
number four is the best one.
They're all the best one. All of them.
Or is it the worst one?
They're all the best.
Awful game.
Okay, well, we're going to leave this, otherwise it's going to get nasty. final story this week.
Is it?
No, I'm about to get onto it.
No, I mean, I thought you'd written more than that.
No, we've been actually quite quick. Either that, but I've been also trying to find out where this 1st of April story is, because I can't see it anywhere on these sites. The commentator talked about. Anyway, So yes, card battling game, John's favourite genre.
Card battling game.
Yeah, Magic the Gathering. Duels of the Planeswalkers is finally heading to iPad. There's been so many sort of Western card battling game. Yeah, happy John. Out on iPad. It's a bit odd that Magic hasn't come across in some sort of official form. But it is now. It's heading to iPad in the summer, and it'll be the portable version of the next iteration of Jewels of the Planeswalkers.
Planeswalkers,
yes.
What does that mean?
It's people who walk on planes.
That's one word. Shouldn't you say that a bit quicker?
Planeswalkers. Magic the Gathering, Jewels of the Planeswalkers.
You sound very Romanian or something. Like
you were very keen on this game, Will, because you created it about 100 times in our back end, didn't you?
I did, yeah. That was because of a CMS error. We had about 400 entries. And, yeah.
It's coming out! It's coming! Finally! I can use my green deck!
deck being, of course, nature. Mm-hmm. Yes, so the original Jewels and Jewels 2012 have reached 2 million in download numbers, which is pretty good for a PC and console series. I expect that number will rise significantly now it's going to be on iPad. What has it got? New features, 10 all-new decks, optional manual mana tapping, and several other exciting features. but there's a new multiplayer mode as well called Plantis.
What's it called?
Plantis.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah, that is what it's called. Yeah.
So there we go.
Are you not going to mention the Infinity Blade news? Is that not news today?
Oh, news. I haven't. I didn't spot it. I was writing this a little bit earlier. What was the Infinity Blade news?
The Infinity Blade news is they've just updated the game.
Clash Mob. Yeah.
They call this a Clash Mob thing. I did like all these kind of things. The press release is absolutely useless. You read it, and it just doesn't tell you anything. It says it's going to be this Clash Mob thing, but then it just says you recruit your friends in my mob. You earn special perks. What does that mean? What does special perks mean? it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's just like, well, I assume you just mean in-game currency.
Yeah, nectar points.
But then it says blah blah blah. Best multiplayer gaming resonates deeply. So now we're going to do this asynchronous on a mobile device. They've not mentioned they don't say what you do at all. I'm just completely confused. I mean, obviously, I'd go and play it and find out, but it does seem a bit odd that they just didn't kind of explain what you do. Anyway, I shall have it. But I guess more importantly, they cut the price to
yes, they cut the
five
price.
Bucks, didn't they?
$5? No.
$5 from seven, yeah.
Oh, yeah, $5. Right? Bucks. Yeah, no, what? You're right. I was thinking of pounds because that's the currency in the country that I live in.
No, we use dollars in Manchester. It's all dollars in there.
Oh,
weirdo. yes, so there we go. That's the news. I hope you enjoyed it. Oh, I know. It's all over.
Over.
Yeah. So we better go.
I got killed. I'll tell you about that.
You just got killed. Mm. Oh, what? You were distracted as well. We are just coming back from a very long edit. and we are going straight on to the midweek releases.
There's a lot of games this week.
I know, look at that, wow. Alright, let's start off with Max Payne.
Can I just say, by the way, that the picture we've got there is the attached image, looks like an awkward photo you need to have taken of your passport or something.
That's actually his expression throughout the game.
It doesn't look good.
He's in pain.
Parnier, isn't it?
Parnier.
Max Parnier.
What?
Max Parnier.
Yeah. So yes, Max Parnier Mobile is out now. I'm going to talk about that a bit later. It's available for $1.99, $2.99 in dollars.
I want to talk about it as well.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to argue?
No. I think so. We might do. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't think we are actually in this case.
No.
Fighter City is also out. This is Gameville's freemium RPG real-world territory battling game.
How many different genres is that? You've just got flap them up written down on the site. So.
You have to get them all in now, Keith. That's what the kids want. Hybrid, yeah, hybrids.
Yeah. Like, what kind of game is this? You can't call it a slap them up. Because there's RPG elements. Also, it's freemium. Anyway, like, so this... There's lots of customization options, apparently. And it all takes place on a sort of Google Maps map. And you build up your fighter's strength. I think people know the drill by now for these types of games. Just wish there was a bit of a snappier title for the genre.
Well, you have to make one. You have to pull the letters together.
GPS RPG, what about that? GPS RPG is pretty good, right?
I mean, you've got to mix up the... You've got to get it like GPG... I don't know.
What?
What are you talking about?
GG.
RPGPS. That's better, see.
Ah.
RPG... No, that's unwieldy. You want GPS RPG.
Because you got the G. It's like you could make a really good logo out of that if you wanted to.
But the GPS RPG has G at the front and the end, and you can make an even better logo where the G's like go... And then underline the word, and then it'll go boo doo doo doo.
Should we move on?
Yeah. Devil Dark, The Fallen Kingdom. It's
the Devil Duck.
Devil Duck. Devil Duck. It's quite a nice looking 3D little game. It's an RPG. It's an action RPG though, so that means you'll be mainly fighting. Doing insane damage.
Oh yeah, lots of numbers coming out of their
lots
heads.
Lots of numbers. There's lots of armor you can put on.
I'd like to see.
Doesn't look too bad.
RPG.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, all right. You're disqualified from commenting. It doesn't look too bad. It's got monsters, bosses.
Oh, I like the art style actually. It's better than most.
It's quite cartoony. Mm. That's out. It's 69p. Crow is out. Finally. Oh. It was meant to be out last year, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, really? Winter 2011. But yes, it is out. It's a story-driven action adventure in which you play a crow flying to a battlefield.
To peck out people's eyes.
Yeah, to peck out people's eyes. I don't think they stress that point.
Okay.
But it's a very nice-looking 3D game. It's very nice-looking.
It does. It looks amazing, actually.
It looks great, actually.
And it looks pretty cool. But I'm waiting for a review, though, because I've got a horrible feeling it's actually not going to be as good as it looks.
Most things in life.
Yeah. So, you fly through different kinds of environments. I think you shoot. Do you shoot anything? Did you see any shots?
How would you shoot things?
No, I couldn't.
Well, there's spiritual powers. An owl fires...
It wasn't packing a gun.
Okay, well, I guess you've got to dodge. There's an owl that fires spiritual essence at him.
Well, we all know they do that, Will.
All right.
Like, we learn that in primary school.
Yes, so... So there's choices that affect the course of the game as well. So that's out now. It's out for £2.99 or $4.99. It's already got a very nice review. Yeah, it's already got a 5-star review, but just one. Stick Wars 3 is also out. I haven't played any of the Stick Wars game. Has anyone played any of the Stick Wars games?
Mm. I think I may have played very, very, very early ones, but I don't know. There used to be a lot of stick games, didn't there? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm confused.
They died out in the Great Stick Wars. Stick Wars 3, though, is free. So if you're confused by my mispronunciation of 3, then there we go. It's free. Sam and Max Beyond Time and Space Episode 4 is out.
Never a dull moment, apparently.
Never a dull moment.
Picture looks quite dull.
Yeah, it's a bit dull. I'm not a big fan of the...
No, I'm not.
Sam and Max reboot.
Is the old game out yet on iOS?
No.
It's not, is it? I don't think I've seen it. That seems like a waste.
I think it's only a couple of the old LucasArts ones that are out. Yeah. Monkey Island.
Mm. I should do Grim Fandango as well.
Grim Fandango, yeah. Day of the Tentacle would be very good.
Mm.
Anyway, Telltale's latest one's out, so if you've been playing them, then it's probably probably all right. Burnout Crash! Is finally out. This has been in development for a long time.
An awful trailer.
It has the worst trailer I think we've seen this year. So
it's close up of other people. It's not even the Hoff. It's a close up of other people's faces looking shocked.
Yeah.
And wowed. It's like somebody from the 50s infomercial or something. It's
pretty awful.
Slogo.
They've gone a bit too far on the whole cheese. Oh, make it cheesy. Make it cheesy and quirky. And unfortunately, they sort of missed it and went on to crap. But the actual game looks quite good. Nice. I've played a demo of it back in October, and it was quite fun.
Not sure about the big alien that appeared on screen there at the end, or
well, the
whatever
big
that is.
Blue tentacle thing.
Yeah, what's that about?
There's like special moves and power ups, like you get a big UFO and stuff as well. It doesn't appear to have any in-app purchases, which is a surprise. But it does have autolog, and it probably requires you to have an Origin account to use. That's normally the way. It's $2.99 or $4.99, and it is out now. I will play that game. I was meant to play it this week, but I didn't get around to it. Era Vacation is from Chillingo. Did you think there wasn't going to be any Chillingo games this week? Honestly, Era Vacation is essentially Tiny Tower and a plane.
Ooh. It's quite a nice plane.
It's a big plane. It's either that or it's Monopoly Hotels, because that's kind of like got that same sort of look as well.
It's a great broke-breasted woman just appeared.
Yeah, I know. Where did she come from? That's not uniform. Well, it's that kind of uniform.
You don't get that on EasyJet.
Oh, no. Ironically enough.
She looks more like a sailor, actually.
Yeah. Sliverlink is out. This isn't any official. So I don't think you can get an official Sliverlink game, but it's the first one on the App Store. Sliverlink, if you don't know, is a kind of puzzle that involves you drawing lines around numbers. The numbers say how many lines are beside it. So, like, if it says one, you know one side of the number.
It's like a Sudoku, isn't it?
As a line, yeah, but it's a drawing Sudoku. It's a lot harder. Yeah.
It originally came out on the DS,
it was part of Hudson's,
in the West, wasn't it?
It was part of Hudson's Puzzle Volume 4 release.
It was, yeah.
I've played it on something, but I thought I actually played it like on a piece of paper or something.
You did. That was the Hudson Paper Puzzles release. No, it's been around for about 20 years now, the actual concept. It's been in newspapers as well.
I kind of think my grand plays, in papers and stuff.
I played this for ages. Oh, I see, yeah. So, yes, it's free. I'm sure it's going to be fairly decent. And it's by Tatsuya Kaido. So there we go. And finally this week, we've got... Penultimately this week, we've got Cow. From by David Miller, which is a physics cow shooting simulation in which your cow shoots rockets around.
This. Why have I seen this?
You've seen it because this was the game we highlighted the other week.
That's right. Oh yeah.
To say it was kind of a bit frustrating because Angry Birds Space
just come out.
Appeared. Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It looks quite nice.
It's okay, isn't it?
Good, yeah.
It's got the eyes of planets as well. The alien things. Yeah,
it's cool. Not exactly. You can't really accuse it of an Angry Birds space clone because it's got extra features there.
Well, you want it for last year.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. It is available now for 69p. So there we go. What have you got then, John?
One quick one. It's got kind of bad timing, really, considering the golf just ended last weekend. But it's called Golf Squared, and it's from. Dynamo Games, who do the Championship Manager game or license. And they've done quite a lot of kind of sports tycoon type games. And this is just it's a bit weird. It's called Golf Squared, as in the little two. But the reason is the graphical style is a lot of things in there are kind of square. So it's a bit of a kind of a play almost. But it's kind of it's a quite nice idea. So it's like as you'd imagine, it's like a 2D kind of a bit like a crazy golf kind of thing. So you play this little golf chap, and you basically have the typical controls. So you move the arrow around for for kind of trajectory, and then you have a, like a little tap and hold for power, as we all know. But then it's kind of a bit like, you can imagine the environment's a bit like kind of Worms, in the sense of the kind of like kind of islands in space of the holes. So it's a bit kind of like puzzle based. Although originally they said it was just coming out for the new iPad, but obviously that's a bunch of bollocks. I've got it on my old iPad now. But yeah, so that's out.
Bunch of bollocks.
He's saying. So the controls are take a little bit of getting used to. But if you like kind of golf games, it's kind of
bollocks always come in a bunch, don't they?
Yeah, seems to be quite nice. Anyway, so that's golf squared, but golf with a little two.
Well, before to stop Keith's giggling fit, we will move straight on to what we've been playing, Fields. Just leaving that bit in.
He's dying.
Yeah, I know.
I'm keeping it together. I'm holding it together.
What we've been playing.
So welcome to the What We've Been Playing, Fields. Who wants to begin this round?
I've played something this week.
Really?
I've played two things.
You have,
week.
Haven't you?
What?
Oh, I know.
Well, okay, I'll go first. Well, no one volunteered.
Well, no, yeah.
It's not enough to just say I've played something. You've got to say, I will do it.
In that voice?
In that voice.
Not going to happen.
No. Okay. Well, okay. I've been playing two games this week as well. I will go through the first one quickly with John. Actually, it's sort of like a pairing, my two games this week, because one of them I was playing with Peter.
Okay.
And the other one is one I share with John. So that one, we'll start off with that one. Max Payne Mobile. Max Pannier.
Pannier.
I'm
going to let you finish.
No, he's never going to let you finish. Anyway, yeah, Max Payne Mobile. It's Rockstar's reworking of Remedy Entertainment's 1998. I think.
Was it really that long ago? Yeah. No, it wasn't. No, no,
it's
no.
It's
got to
be.
No, no, no.
The copyright notice.
2000, surely?
No, no, it's earlier than that. I was playing Max Payne in 2001, so it's...
He's typing it in now.
Yeah, I am as well.
2001. There we go.
What? No. No!
Yes!
Right, fine. 2001. Why does the copyright notice at the start of the game say 1998?
They just got it ready.
it did take a long time to be developed. Wasn't it? One of those games was in development for ages, wasn't it?
Yeah, right, fair enough. Yeah. So yeah, Max Payne 1, which is now 11 years old. It's and one of the first games that was released on the PS2.
You've cut my line out, haven't you?
No.
It's not going to press the girls either way. Don't worry. It's just...
Let's talk about the mobile version. It's not very good.
But is it not? Does it not seem like exactly the same as the? I mean, I played the PC one and the console one, and it's just they weren't very good at the time.
They weren't. No.
So it just seems like exactly the same. But it just it does seem very odd to me that okay, they've taken a game that has some sort of cachet, and literally they've not improved it. It's not like a reworking, is it? It's exactly the same. It's unbelievable.
Well, the only thing is they've really hacked into are the controls. I mean, but that's it. That is literally it, because like loads of things that shouldn't be there are there. So you've got the locked out difficulty levels. So that was in the original, the release, and now it's in this one. But you can't play on anything other than ultra easy when you first start the game until you complete it, which seems completely stupid to me, because you're just going through a very easy game. And then it's got a very what was another one? There's no autosave, is there? Or am I missing something?
I haven't got that far. So you just mean you go between the chapters?
Yeah, I don't know if it. Yeah, yeah. But there's no actual sort of like.
No.
And there's no real sort of improvements to or effort to spruce up the graphics other than to bump up the resolution.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks terrible. Oof. It looks worse than sort of screenshots of GoldenEye in places. I mean, there are some moments where it's sort of like, oh yeah, there's the. Also, the problem with Max Payne is that it's literally a one-trick pony. And that trick is to put 90-degree corners and have put bad guys around them. Mm. And there's nothing else.
I don't think that's fair. Like, the storytelling's quite unique when it is actually trying to tell a story.
It is a pretty awful. I mean, it's awful in a funny sense. It's not awful in a Game Off sense. It's just sort of knowingly cheesy. Which, I mean, yeah, sure, that's cool. But I mean, in terms of gameplay, it is literally 90-degree corners. You drive around one, kill the guys there. There's no real connection on the iOS version with when you're shooting and when they're dead.
And no bullet time. I was reading on Twitter, people were
saying bullet time. Yeah,
bullet time.
Yeah. You use bullet time every single moment.
I'm going from Ben Cousins of NG Moco was saying you'd have tried to put the bullet time in there, but it's not possible.
What?
I can quote him. You know that critical mechanic in Max Payne when you dive in bullet time and aim and shoot simultaneously. Not possible on iOS. But
yeah, it is.
I would have probably tried to get the critical mechanics working at least.
Yeah, I don't know.
Aim and shoot are both mapped to the right-hand side of the screen. You dive, I have to aim, then shoot, then aim. It's horrible.
No, but he's saying it's a complicated control method. Yeah, but right.
I've never played it. I don't know what.
But the thing is, as a default, they have auto aiming on, so that's how they tried to deal with that.
Yeah.
So you kind of it looks like you're kind of aiming, but you're aiming because you're moving, and then the auto aim actually.
Is firing. There's actually four different levels of auto aim as well. There's hard lock, soft lock. Lovely lock and no lock.
Milky lock. Now, I mean, it just seems such a cheap way of doing it. I think, you know, you could kind of go, you know, 10 years after Max Payne, you know, Max Payne rebooted and just, you know, just spend, not ages, but spend a little bit of time updating the graphics and just like some obvious things. It just seems like such a, I mean, need the money.
It's a promotional tool, isn't it? It's promotion for Max Payne 3.
Yeah, but why promote Max Payne 3 with a terrible experience that I just kind of think it's like a really odd. But I mean, the whole thing is Remedy do not get mobile stuff. I mean, they really don't. So, you know, they did Death Rally, but they didn't do it. Basically, someone like a Finnish developer came to them and said, "Well, I really love Death Rally. Can I remake it for you?" And they said, "Yeah, if you want." And they did it and made like £1 million. So. But internally, they don't understand mobile. It's not a focus for them at all. So, as you say, they've just done this because they think it's good publicity. But if it's going to get 4 out of 10, it's not going to be too good, is it?
It's a bit of a weird situation because even though the plot of 9mm and the acting is awful, in some ways, it's actually a bit better than Max Payne on iOS. That's what I was thinking. It's just it has a little bit more variety. I mean, it's not as well. I hate to say this because Max Payne isn't really that well put together in some places, but it's not.
I have to say, even on the PC version, as you know, the storytelling's interesting, the cartoon stuff, and like the whole thing where he has the drug
dream
sequence. I think that was kind of interesting. But as a game, it was technically terrible. Bullet time was great; they invented it, and it was fun for about an hour, and then it was just like.
It was that freshness of bullet time that really carried it.
It was never. I mean, as we were discussing beforehand. I mean, Max Payne 2 certainly wasn't perfect, but it was a much more.
It's a lot better,
and technically a lot better. And obviously, the two characters and had some real standout scenes. You know, the sniper stuff was really good. But first Max Payne was, you know, I think it was an easier time to impress people because I remember when that game came out, I was just thinking it's clearly it's not being QA'd. That was the PC versions. I'm sure they kind of.
Why is Keith laughing?
Laughing at something completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. I thought I could be heard. Carry on.
You were just every single slight pause in the conversation we heard.
I shouldn't have checked Facebook. But I see there was something very amusing.
A second game is one that I'm going to team up with Peter to talk about. Which is that we've been playing Draw Something finally.
Yeah.
Well, for me, finally, anyway. Everyone else played it before me. It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a delight, really. For me, it feels a lot like drawing on pieces of paper and sliding them over in school to, like a friend and going, look at this, look what I've drawn. And it has that. It has that lovely mix of creativity and almost feeling a little bit smart when you either guess somebody else's drawing or you create something that somebody else can guess straight away. I think the other thing that I really like about it is how it keeps you kind of involved because it gives you those little notifications, which I quite like. But it's so short to do. Like it's very sort of jump in, have a laugh, create something, be creative, and be feel smart, and get all this constant positive reinforcement, and then just quit, and then, you know, an hour can pass or 2 hours can pass, and then you're back into it again, and that sort of thing. And it just keeps you ticking over, which is what I really, really like about it.
Also, we found out that you can basically write messages to each other if you use the delete page button.
Yeah.
So I've been saying stuff like, your last drawing was too hard. Delete page. Smiley face.
Do you mean hard or rubbish?
No, there was some really... I don't know what happened today. I've dropped our chain, by the way. You saw that.
Yeah, you dropped Tony Hawk. That was such a good one as well.
I couldn't read any of your writing. It was like a five-frame animation.
Yeah, it was longer than that. It was like huge. It was this huge overarching story of how Activision signed Tony Hawk for a 20-year deal. And it was like it was a drawing of a skater on a quarter pipe and then a sad-faced man at Activision like, oh, no, these games don't sell anymore. And like... I thought you would get it from that.
I didn't read any of your writing.
I think you're both playing this in a very different way to most people, judging by you.
We're not writing the answers, obviously, but yeah, we've started doing animations. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Keith.
Oh, hello. Well, yeah, this week. Well, only briefly, because if I talk too much about it, I'll land myself in trouble. Because I don't know what I'm talking about. That lovely baseball game that we touched upon, baseball management game we touched upon last week that was in New York.
Yeah. Did it get a good RBI?
Yeah.
RBI.
You're being rotten to him.
It's all right. It's all right, actually. It's okay. I kind of got the gist purely because it has really descriptive descriptions, if that makes sense, when you're in the actual match of what's happening. Even though the jargon leaves me completely out in the cold, I kind of understood certain bits and why certain tactics I was using was working. It's a bit, the actual kind of UI of it all is a bit homemade. It looks a bit naff. And from what I can gather, it's almost identical to the one that came out last year, so I'm not quite sure what the difference is, but it's quite amusing. They obviously haven't got the official license, but so bizarrely it has this, it runs like a PC game. It has a little loading thing that tells you what it's doing all the time.
Is it not based off the PC game?
There's the PC series.
It auto generates different logos for all the squads. Keep the same names, what I can gather, but it generates different logos for them every time, and it tells you it's doing this for some reason. So there's like obviously just a random number of shields and letters and stuff and colors that it just, I don't know why it does it, I'm not sure what the purpose of that is, but it was okay. I enjoyed it for as long as I needed to, and then I stopped playing it. Today I've been playing, considering we got those lovely mugs, well, some of us did, from Chilingo for Coco Loco. I thought I'd give it a go, and it's really quite good. It's not Angry Birds. It's post Angry Birds. It's actually more Angry Birds Rio, actually. So it is. It's a physics game, and you are flinging things at a big kind of structure. But it's kind of like Angry Birds Rio meets Feed Me Oil, which is, I think that was Chilingo as well. So the story is quite funny. I think it's, I don't know whether it's Egyptian or Aztec or what, but so the idea is that marshmallows have been dreaming all their life of bathing in these kind of waters of hot chocolate goodness, and they go on a mission to find this mysterious land, and they find it, and they're all happy, but the cocoa bean king or lord or something thinks they're not showing enough respect for the chocolate, so he kind of casts some kind of spell on them that traps them in these kind of shields. Essentially, you have to then use other marshmallows to free them all. So it is much like Angry Birds Rio, in that as well as kind of deconstructing various things, you're actually doing it to free things rather than kill things. But then it brings in this kind of other element of the hot chocolate itself and other things like jelly, So rather than it just being a simple aim to smash down a thing, you're kind of setting off chain reactions where you have to hit one part, which then opens up a gate, which lets the chocolate out, which knocks down a pillar, which blah, blah, blah. And it kind of goes on and on and on. And it obviously gets more and more complicated. And then you've got coins you can pick up as you fling these different marshmallows through the air, which is quite good because essentially that's a bit like a tracer telling you where you should be aiming. Mm. And actually, the marshmallows themselves, in Angry Birds style, there's all different kinds of variants, and they're all very amusingly animated with nice kind of sounds, which were making me in hysterics for a while. And they do different things, like there's a jelly marshmallow, and when you tap the screen, it explodes into this massive block of jelly. It kind of just in midair, and that weighs things down. And there's one that explodes into like a bomb that can knock things down. It's just very, it is kind of, you know, you thought it is Angry Birds in that kind of way, but they have actually thought they're not just clones. They've kind of thought about how they can use different things, and it is incredibly well presented in that same kind of way. Really, it's very slick and enjoyable, and kind of, yeah, I was quite impressed with it. And I can imagine, I mean, I'm only kind of on the second world of levels, but I can imagine the further I get, the more and more complex it'll get. And because it is like Angry Birds for me, I'm kind of wanting to do it all with just one or two marshmallows and no more. So I'm kind of replaying levels over and over again in the same way that I would Angry Birds. But you kind of don't mind because it's amusing when things go wrong. And I'm kind of also experimenting. I'm purposely aiming at things I probably shouldn't be, just to see what happens, which is always quite a good sign, I think. And the restart is incredibly quick, which is another bonus with these kind of games, because when you're like me and you want to do it perfectly, you usually have a little loading or waiting screen, whereas this is literally it restarts. So that's quite impressive. So I think it's probably about a high seven, low eight kind of score if I was to score it. I think we've already reviewed it. I'm not sure what we gave it, but
we have already reviewed it.
And what did we get?
One.
Wait.
No. We didn't. I don't know. I'd have to type it in. And I'm too lazy for that. Who wants to go next? Or is everyone done? Has anyone got any spare game left?
Spare game.
Got a seven.
Oh, that sounds about right then. Yeah. Highly recommended. Yeah.
Can I do a little shout out? Because I think it's probably worth doing. Just because it's a tiny game and not really worth talking about much. There's a game called X-Baseball. And I've been playing that, and I've been playing it sort of inspired by Keith's love of baseball that we're kind of discussing. And it's probably right up your street. It's a free little game. It's a one-button game where you a pitcher keeps throwing balls at you, and you need to swing at them at the right time, and you knock them out of the park, and you just try and keep going, and you keep going for as long as possible until you get three strikes. And then sometimes a man in the stands throws a bunch of bananas at you, and if you hit the bananas, then you get an extra life. And then
does that
at some point
in the real game?
Hmm?
Does that happen in the real match?
Yeah. The pitcher becomes a giant ape at one point, which is but it's purple and it looks a bit like Donkey Kong. It's got Game Center support, and I've been playing that with a few friends, and it's very, very good. So I just wanted to, don't really want to review it much, but you should go and get it. So you should definitely go and get it. It's very good. X-Baseball.
What does it do now?
It's into cricket.
Yeah. That took me all too many seconds to work out what you were doing there. It's just I'm tired.
Yeah, that's my joke. Subtle. Subtle.
Tired of you, maybe. I think.
Okay, fair enough. Right, I am tired of me too. So I think it's time I went away, and which means I have to better say...
Put that in.
It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
I think that should get cut. I think you should do.
Yeah, I'll probably cut that last bit out. Yes, so thank you very much to my guests for joining me. John Jordan.
Yeah, pleasure was all mine.
Peter Wellington.
Thanks.
And we will be seeing you next week. You never say it, though, do you? You never say it. So I'm not even going to ask you.
Not asking. No, I don't mind saying goodbye. It's the kind of Morecambe and Wise, or no, two Ronnies kind of exit that you tried to put on things for some reason.
I can't remember that. I mean, what do I try and make you say?
Oh, because then I have to say it, Will. I'm not that stupid.
Ah! So we'll be back next week with.
Will we?
Well, yes, but we're going to be. It's going to be a Manchester live recording, I fear.
Oh.
Be fair.
Because I'm going to be up there, so. Yeah, looks like we'll be recording in a pub.
I live in Manchester. I could have seen you.
Very good.
Yes, so we'll be there next week. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a good week. Don't have nightmares.
A bit Crime Watch.
Yeah, no, I didn't know what to say. I went into Crime Watch mode. It's a default setting.
I never watch it now.
What am I supposed to do with? No, actually, it's more 999, isn't it?
No. It was used to say. Even though it just showed you horrible people being murdered and burgled, remember that crime is actually falling. So don't have nightmares.
Yeah. Every day and every night, the police are out there looking for the men who murdered your family. But please, don't have nightmares.
I kind of stopped watching it, really, because the script...
That's Max Payne again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It
started repeating itself.
Yeah, the series finales weren't up to much anymore, so I kind of stopped watching Crime Watch.
Murder. Oh, God. We had this one.
We know what's going to happen here, don't we? Kind of thing. You know? Oh, there's a big jewellery shop. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen.
Gloucestershire Police, again. I thought they were already looking for a murder last series.
Oh, yeah. Where? God, why don't you put a nice little tune on the car instead? So boring.
I like 999, though. 999 was good.
Yeah, it was good, actually. But then you always knew they were going to survive.
Not always.
I used to think Michael Burke was God, though, so anything he was in, I was kind of would watch, like the news or 999, essentially.
Did 999 ever take that kind of like a left turn, like go, and when they arrived, they were all dead. And then like, yeah, exactly, like they were all brutally killed.